I'm Marissa.
And I'm Rachel.
And you're listening to the PTO Podcast.
Welcome to episode one of the PTO Podcast presented by One Country. My name is Marissa Turk.
And I'm Rachel Deeb.
And I'm so glad that our podcast finally has a name.
I know. Literally only took us about a year, I think, to figure it out. I actually owe my friend $100 because I told her if she came up with a name, I'd give her $100. And hopefully she never sees us because I don't think I want to give her $100.
Did she come up with any of the other ones that you were sending me?
Yes. I was with her at the pool and I was like rapid texting you all those names. Yeah, it was all her. It was not me.
And
but I'm glad we stuck with this one.
I have some of those written down here.
You do? What was it?
So One Country Under Pod.
Okay, I like that one. Honestly, that was in my top.
This ain't the Ritz.
Okay, yes. Like, this ain't the Ritz, baby.
You just have to say it with some tune.
Yeah, you got to say it with that.
But I'm glad we landed on PTO.
Okay,
you were very adamant on this.
And I know.
One of my suggestions, the one I felt most strongly on, was Summer Fridays. That's a thing that's unique to the music industry. It's from Memorial Day till Labor Day. Every Friday in the summer, most companies stop working around noon. And that's called a Summer Friday. And I thought that just like elicited a cool emotion. Everyone feels good when they hear Summer Friday. So when you sent PTO podcast, I'm like, okay, yeah, that gives me that same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But what's your meaning behind it?
I feel like when my friend thought of PTO podcast, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because while you guys are all using your PTO hours to come to this concert, I'm just being paid to be here. What's your take on it?
Exactly that PT, everyone loves paid time off.
Yeah.
So I think that, I don't know that this is.
Like, we work on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, our jobs are like you're here having fun, but we're being paid to be here. And it's like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday vibe. So like PTO, you know, that's the vibe I'm getting. Like,
I don't know. It just sounds good. It looks good.
Yeah.
I think we just.
Like, our job feels like PTO.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that.
We've been doing this funny thing because we've been friends for what?
About like 12. I remember we were like
12
because we went to college together.
Yeah, yes. And 12, we will get into
years.
That. But yeah. We've been doing this funny thing where we knew we were going to be doing this podcast for a couple months now. And we've been planning for it. And we have a shared note. And we keep jotting stuff down that we want to talk about. But every time we run into each other, we're like, no, save it for the pod.
I'm like, hi, bye.
So
like,
we legitimately have not caught up in...
Yeah. Like
in
3 months.
Ages. So we have a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, we do. Like literally we've been avoiding each other, but I do get notes or I get like the notifications on my phone. It's like, Marissa added something to the notes. I'm like, what is it now? And it's like something I posted on Instagram. You're like, talk about Post Malone. And I'm like, yeah, got it.
Well, I think before we get any further, I think we should let everybody know who we are, what we do.
Yes.
So if you want to take it away,
what
do you do?
Good
and what
question.
Is your job title?
Good question. Why are we doing this podcast, really? So it's kind of tough. So I do a few different things. As you know, I'm a photographer, a videographer, a director, a graphic designer. But then I also have this art side where I paint murals around town. I have a denim jacket line called Electric Denim where I paint custom denim jackets, which have turned into like custom guitars for a stage and all that kind of stuff. So I think overall, I would probably label myself as a creative director. Okay, your turn. Okay, done. Your turn.
It's interesting because you're an artist in your own right, but you also work with artists. So that's very different than what I do. I work.
Yeah. We're like yin yang.
Yes, definitely. Left brain, right brain. You got all the creative. I am an artist manager, and I work at Smack Songs. I manage Walker Hayes, Kylie Morgan, Jenna Davis, and a Real Housewife of Orange County, Gina Kirschneider.
So badass. Also, like, what? Do you want to describe what Smack is?
Yeah, so Smack started as a publishing company. So there's about 20-something writers that Smack publishes. We got into management more recently. That was actually, you know, how people say luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Smack just started management right when I was graduating college. And so I was able to jump right in management because you typically don't make the jump to be able to be doing what I was doing that early at a management company. So anyways, we've expanded to management. And then now Jenna Davis, my most recent management client, signee, if you will, we launched Smack Records with her. So now Smack is a label as well.
Wow. And what about, okay, also for anyone listening, Marissa basically is like in Music Row magazine every week, I feel like, because she is a badass at her job. And so she discovered Smack Talk. Do you want to tell them what that is too?
Yeah, so Smack Talk was born during quarantine COVID times when TikTok was like bursting.
Marissa was like,
on
you were like blowing up on TikTok.
You know,
I was like watching you like do something with bread. There was like a Frozen thing.
I had so much fun on TikTok. Yeah. I felt like I was advocating for my artists to get on it. And I was like, if I expect them to get on it, I need to get on it myself and figure out what to do and what works and what doesn't. And my type A self, we were just talking about left brain, right brain. Couldn't be more type A. Yeah. Had a spreadsheet.
I had a spreadsheet for your TikTok?
Dead serious. Oh, I was like, I would put like text on the video, not text on the video. How long was the video?
Are you serious?
Totally.
Marissa also came to this podcast hang with notes and flash sheets. So
totally.
Yeah.
Things printed out with notes on it.
That's so funny.
So anyways, so I was setting out to crack the TikTok code. Spoiler alert. Didn't crack it, but I did go viral a couple times.
You did, yeah.
Got a 5 million view video for massaging a chicken.
Okay,
you
that's what it was.
You recognize me.
you may recognize these hands.
but anyways, I forgot how we got on that tangent. Oh, so Smack Talk. So yeah. I was noticing that, you know, that started to be a huge hub for music discovery and getting other people, notable people, to post with their sound and then running campaigns. And we had done that through a company previously, but I just found myself asking lots of questions and coming up with ideas. And I was kind of being a pest, if I'm being honest. I was like, why don't y'all try this? Have you guys thought about this? What about this, this, this? And I was like, okay, instead of annoying them, let's see if I can do it better. And that's how Smack Talk was born. So,
wow.
So yeah.
Iconic.
How is it? Because I've always been with the company. I've been with Smack since I graduated.
Yeah.
You've had a different
one time
journey.
With Smack.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But we'll get into that in one second. Tell me when you graduated.
Yeah.
What happened after that?
Okay. So I graduated University of Alabama.
Roll Tide.
2016. And I came straight to Nashville because I had an internship with Nashville Convention Visitors Corporation under their art department as a graphic designer. And then from there, I actually had a graphic design job and I got fired within like 3 months. Maybe I have like this 3 month rule because I think I was a Smack for 3 months. Yes. But yeah, I was doing this graphic design job in a cubicle. Can you imagine me in a cubicle?
I saw you at a desk once in your 3 months at Smack.
Yeah,
so no, I can't imagine you in a cubicle.
Yeah. So I remember when I got fired, I thought, you know, I'll never let myself feel like the feeling of failure ever again. And in the meantime, I started working for Tidal Boxing Club and I was like, oh, I'll get fit while I'm like looking for my next graphic design, art direction, whatever job. And while I was at Tidal, I started to like experiment more with photography and videography. And I feel like during that time, I met the right people at the right time. Like, and I wasn't asking for favors. I like genuinely made friendships. And these are friendships with Brett Eldridge's photographer or Dustin Lynch's photographer and Maren Morris's photographer. And I didn't even know concert photography was a real job. And when they were telling me that's what they do, I was like, wow, that's crazy. So yeah, I feel like one thing kind of led to another. I mean, I can go into the whole story about like my first concert I ever shot.
Yeah. I don't know what your first concert was that you shot.
It was actually with Maren Morris, which is wild. They're like, have you ever shot a concert? And I was like, of course. Duh. well, before that, when I was at Tidal, I don't know how, but someone at Warner Music contacted me to do BTS on a shoot for Morgan Evans. And I said, yeah, I'll be there. And I was working at Tidal from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day. And the shoot was at 10 a.m. And I begged my boss. I was like, please, like, I have to do this. And I was also Googling what BTS meant. podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I had no idea. So I did this shoot. I had no idea I was doing. My friend Evan helped me edit the video because I was doing video on it. And I think I pulled an all-nighter, submitted it, whatever. But fast forward, I became friends with all these guys who were on tour. And there was one day where Dustin Lynch's photographer, Daniel Vorle, asked me to help him with a Dustin Lynch music video. And I remember that day I was so tired, but I said, you know what? I got to say yes, which is like huge advocate for saying yes, also for saying no, which I need to learn, which we'll get into. But I go to this music video, help him out, whatever. Then they're like, let's go to Red Door for a beer. And I'm like, I didn't even want to be here in the first place, but okay, fine, I'll go. So go to Red Door, and then Alex Ferrari walks in, who is Maren Morris's photographer, and we all become friends. Fast forward 6 months later, Alex DMs me and is like, hey, can I fly you to Michigan to shoot Maren's show? And I had just landed in New York at that time, and I was like, yes, I will be there. So he flew me out, shot the show, and once Maren posted a photo with my name on it, it was like game over.
Enjoying this podcast? Get more exclusive content in the One Country app. Download today in the App Store.
I actually remember seeing...
Okay, yeah, because this was like right before I started working for Smack.
Yes.
I feel like.
And I remember seeing that and being like, oh, Rachel's the real deal. I'm brand new at this company and I want to bring something to the table. We're having this album release party. We don't have a photographer. I'm going to... you know, ask my boss if we can hire someone to shoot it.
Yeah, for Walker Hayes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Walker was the first person I really like went on tour with, like a legit bus tour.
Totally.
Yeah. So that all like connects. Yeah.
And why that's a cool full circle moment is Rachel and I were actually sorority sisters at Alabama. And
shout out Alpha Gam.
Yeah. Shout out Alpha Gam. And we knew each other not as well, obviously, as now, but we had a lot of mutual friends. Rachel actually did my grad photos, top tier, even though they were edited in what?
iPhoto?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I don't know why anyone hired me for that. That was wild.
You did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
But I forgot where I was going with that, if I'm being honest.
I think just
How we met.
Yeah, how we met.
How we met. And then you were here a year before me.
Yeah.
And you were working with the, what's it called? The Travel Bureau?
Nashville Convention Visitors Corporation. Close. Yeah, you were close.
I can't believe I didn't remember that.
Yeah, surprising.
But yeah, then our paths crossed again at the Walker album release party. Everybody was like enamored with your work from that. And Smack was growing at that time and we didn't know what we needed, what positions we needed, anything like that, but we loved your work. And so we hired, Smack hired you. What was the creative?
It was like a creative position. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I like to always tell you now, like if I had that position now, I would have done it so much differently. But that was a really cool opportunity back then. But I was just so young, I feel like.
Which I think that also goes back to the left brain, right brain. Like, I think you are so good at managing your own schedule and you don't need to be conformed into a company and everything like that. And we didn't know what we needed you for, you know?
Yeah,
and
like, it was a little
ambiguous. And I think ambiguity is hard for creatives. Am I right?
Yeah.
To say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So you shot, let's go back.
Okay.
You shot Maren. And then what? You shot Walkers. You were working with Smack, but you also were very busy when you were working at Smack other things that were not Smack related.
I know. Oh my gosh.
But you really started to ramp up then.
Yeah.
So what else came in?
So during that time, I remember Walker and I were at Stagecoach and Walker, you know, chilling on the bus. And I was like, do you want to take photos? And he's like, no. And so I noticed Carly Pierce was at Stagecoach. So I texted her booking agent's assistant, Colby, who was there at the time. And I was like, hey, I'm bored. Like, do you think Carly would want to take photos like for fun, like whatever, backstage? And he was like, yeah, she's down. So I went over there, took all these photos of her. She posted like all of them. And then I was like, hey, if you need anyone for CMAs, let me know. Because CMAs were the following weekend. She ended up reaching out. I shot a show for her. And then that night she took me on the bus and was like, what's your goal? And I was like, to go on tour with a female artist. And she said, what are you doing next weekend? And I went on tour with her for 4 years.
That is, and y'all are like good friends.
Yeah, yeah. Too good of friends.
I think
you're looking at me because Marissa knows a story that I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
But I can't remember if I'm remembering it correctly, but tell me how you and Carly bonded. Was it at Stagecoach or was it?
We bonded at Stagecoach, but then there was like a moment on a bus.
Just tell it.
Okay. There was a moment on the bus where Colby actually was in the bus and he went to the bathroom and I looked at Carly and I was like, Carly, I'm not gonna lie, I have to fart so bad. And she was like, do it. And I was like, okay. And I literally blasted a fart and me and Carly were just cracking up. And then she farted and we just start cracking up even more. And we were like dying laughing. Cause like, I've never met anyone who could like equally fart as loud and great as me.
Loud.
Anyways,
and
Colby comes out of the bathroom and he's like, what I miss? And I'm like, do not smell.
Just got
that.
Crop dusted. Y'all hotboxed.
Yeah,
the bus.
We hotboxed Colby, poor guy. But it was so funny. I was like, wow, I love you. I love Carly. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be on this tour for a while. So yeah, it was a good time.
That's incredible. I'm close with my artist, but not like that.
Yeah, it's a different vibe with Maren Morris and the Lumineers. I don't fart in front of them. Okay, well, now that I just spilled the beans on me, I think you should go back to like where you're from, like where you went from Alabama, you got here.
The beans was a perfect segue. Also, great word choice.
Beans?
After we just talked about farting. Yeah.
Oh, but I didn't
anyways,
even notice I said that.
I digress. We'll move on from
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah, please.
So I'm from Dallas, Texas. I went to the University of Alabama specifically because I thought I wanted to be a publicist, and they have a top 5 PR program every single year. And toured there, fell in love, and was in the communications PR program. I did a couple corporate internships that I absolutely hated. And I remember going home and talking to my parents and being like, I just predicated my whole life on this major because I thought I knew that's what I wanted. And in real life application, I actually don't like it. And luckily that summer, the last project I worked on at this very corporate firm in Dallas, that last project was entertainment related. And I recognized that that got me excited. Like I was jacked to get into work and work on this and everything like that. So the next year I spent applying to LA, New York and film and TV. That's what I thought when I thought entertainment. I wasn't even considering music and excuse me. And I applied to a couple safety internships in Nashville because I'm like, oh, if I have to drive up from Bama, it's close, whatever. I ended up getting a job or an internship with E.B. McFarland. EB Media is her company. And I'm not sure what her roster looks like right now, but when I was there, it was Kenny Chesney, Eric Church, Dan and Shay, you name it, all the big dogs.
Casual.
You know? Yeah, right? And I started there, and 2 weeks into it, one of the publicists that worked there was like, hey, Marissa, my friend's at this brand new company called Smack, don't have an intern. Would you like to intern here and there? And we'll just split time. And I was like, sure, what's Smack? And she said, it's Shane McAnally's company. I didn't know anything about the music industry. I didn't know who Shane was. I didn't even remember his name enough to go Google it when I got home. The publicist that told me about the Smack position, also a sorority sister of ours, Olivia Hansery, shout out.
Love her.
So anyways, I started at Smack and it just immediately felt different. Like I said, the luck and preparation opportunity, yada, yada. We are just starting management. Walker and I met. He's also a Bama fan, all roads lead back to
I'm
Bama.
Like, who would have thought that Smack like developed all these Alpha Gam girls?
It was Alpha
like
Gam and Alabama fans.
Yeah, which I'm like, I don't like pride myself on saying that I was in a sorority, do you? Well, now no. I do because I'm like, you helped me out so much in the beginning of this whole thing.
I actually will say that every job I've ever had came from sorority networking.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. And I bailed like 2 years in. I was like,
but you got all the networking you needed. Like, yeah, the contacts.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, so I started over at Smack, met Walker. We really hit it off. If he tells the story, he got me hired. Where Smack said that they were going to hire me anyways. But
we'll let Walker have that one.
Yeah, he can have it. But anyways, that's the story of how I wound up there. And I've been there for 7 years, which is crazy.
That's wild. You beat my 3 month record.
But I will say it's such a, the company's grown so much in these 7 years and we've expanded into so many new avenues. And it starts from the top down. Shane McAnally, Robert Carlton, they've really allowed me to spread my wings and explore different things and sign a housewife and start a new branch of the company and all of these things. So I don't feel stagnant. And there's always something new.
Yeah. How did you get the housewife? I said that so bad. I'm like, how did you capture that housewife? It's like, but like, I'm sure, you know, with Smack, who has like Kylie Morgan and Walker and all those people, like, what a different concept. Like, how did you even know how to navigate? Because I feel like that is such a different type of management.
Totally.
It is. Than going to shows with Kylie, you know?
It absolutely is. And I recognize that I'm still figuring out how to do it, by the way.
Yeah.
But I recognize that if we're at an award show and we see Keith Urban.
Yeah.
It's like every other day. Who cares? We see Keith Urban. No shade to you, Keith.
Love Keith.
Mr. Urban.
Keep rocking.
But if Nicole Kidman is there, there's a different air in the room.
Yeah.
Right? Like everybody's like looking over at her and it's like this different energy. And so I was like, okay, how can I take that and apply it to what I do? And I felt like if I got someone on the roster that wasn't in the music industry, not the same people that we see all the time, it would double the Rolodex. It would create new opportunities and open different doors for my current roster and the new signee.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's kind of how that all came about. But
wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Cause I have like so many friends being like, how does Marissa manage Gina? I'm like, I don't know. I can't speak to her until we're on the podcast. I'm
so
like,
you have
I'll
to
keep
ask
you
here.
Updating. Yeah. So now I have to ask
your
you.
Your friends have any questions?
Yeah. I'm just going to send them over to you.
Looking for more exclusive content from your favorite artists? Download the One Country app today and access podcasts, interviews, performances, and more. Available now in the App Store.
I'm like excited to keep doing this podcast with you. This is something so new for us. I've been on podcasts, but I've never like had one. And I'm like, I'm just so excited to do it with you because we're so opposite of each other. So what can you tell everyone that is listening, like what to expect like in our next episode and more to come and all that kind of stuff?
Next time, I am so excited to talk about our non-existent...
Oh, I thought you were going to say dating.
Oh, no, I was going to say...
Work-life balance.
Yes, our non-existent work-life balance.
Yes.
We can also talk about your dating or lack thereof.
Lack thereof,
but yes. You've always got some sort of story, so everybody...
You know, I'll always show up with a story.
Everybody, and by everybody, I mean my mom and my dad and
Rachel's
parents.
Specifically
your father. Yeah. Okay, well, that's another tangent.
I'm just going to say, no one slides more into my DMs like Marissa Turk's father.
On that note, thank you for joining us on Our Paid Time Off.
Experience the membership bringing together the biggest giveaways, exclusive content, and one-of-a-kind products from some of your favorite names in country music and Southern lifestyle. Download the One Country app today.